Hello, Mairead Sioigha. Welcome to the podcast. How are you doing?
Hey Claire, how's things? Happy International Women's Day. Nice to be
Happy.
recording on such a marquee day.
100%, 100% happy International Women's Day. How are you? How's your week been?
Week has been really, really good. I'm great, thankfully. It's been a busy week. Shock horror. That usually seems to be the way with me. But anyways, you know what? We've today off work because of the referendum. So it's been a nice kind of day for me to kind of catch up on myself and sit with my thoughts and clear my head a small bit. And get set up for the next week. But no, it's been good. I've been hitting a lot of targets and kind of resetting a small bit for myself and pushing out my training as well, which has been nice. So yeah, happy out.
Amazing.
How about you?
But just before I talk about me, I know you were just saying you just did 15K, which is unbelievable. And I can imagine that was plenty time to reset your thoughts on 15K.
Yeah, for sure. Pretty delighted with it now, to be honest, Claire, because I would never, like in the past, I would never have considered myself a runner. I was always like, if you're running, you need to be running after a ball, or you need to be, it has to be with purpose. In terms of purpose for a sport, that's what I always thought. If you were to be running, I'd be like, why would anyone run long distances? But I'm actually surprising myself with how much my body can do and how much I'm enjoying it as well. And
Freedom.
taking it slower as well. Like, it's amazing. People think to run, you have to be going a million miles an hour all the time. You need to slow it down, and like, that's how you really, really enjoy it. So yeah, I had plenty of time to think, and I'm chuffed now after
Amazing. Try sprinting 15K and you'll soon realize
it.
that that's not so enjoyable or doable. But I am really good, thank you. I've been having a good week as well. It's been pretty busy. I've been doing a good few calls with GAA teams. I've had a few club teams and things like that who I'm doing nutrition talks with. So that's kind of made my week a little bit busier. We've been busy inside the tribe. I've been getting my own training done, but honestly, I'm feeling really good. Energy's really good. So I am excited that it's Friday, excited for the weekend. And I'm still in Dubai, but I am coming home in about a week and a half now. So I'm looking forward to that as well.
Oh, brilliant. I knew it was around, I thought it was around April time, so that's phenomenal. How nice. Are
Yeah.
you looking forward to coming home?
I'm looking forward to it. My mom's been telling me the weather's not amazing, so I'm not very excited about that part of things, but I'm looking forward to coming home.
I don't know where your mom is because it's nice here in the Joyce Country. But spring evenings are coming in. It's chilly, but you can really see a sense of spring, and everyone's energy, I feel, is definitely up, and the evenings are longer. Mornings, you're waking up, the mornings are brighter. So it's a lot better place than when you left, Claire. So
That's
you're welcome
amazing.
that.
The weather must not be as good in Kerry as it is in Galway, maybe for the last few days. I haven't asked her in a few days, to be fair. No, I am really looking forward to coming home, have some fun things over the next few weeks. I'm going to New York in April to visit my brother. So I'm looking forward to that as well. So that'll be really nice.
Nice. That'll be class. It'll be lovely to touch base with the family again and all that,
Yeah.
and come back to Ireland. And I always feel like spring, summer in Ireland, if we get any bit of consistency with weather, you cannot beat it.
Yeah, 100%. And I just love when the days are longer and we have the stretch and all that kind of crack.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, that's exciting.
So no, all is good. So will we get stuck into the topic for this week's podcast?
Yeah, for sure. Looking
Yeah.
forward to it.
Amazing. So for everyone listening, myself and Mairead, we're going to chat through five things that we've changed our mind on. And I only came up with this topic late last night and texted Mairead. So this is like off the cuff, our fresh thoughts. I don't know what Mairead's five things are. She doesn't know what mine are. And we thought that would be a little bit more fun. Let's get stuck in with five things we changed our mind on over the last number of years. First one for me, Mairead, is sleep. So I used to in college, especially in college, I used to try and get by on as little sleep as possible. Myself and my housemate Siobhan, like we were absolutely terrible. We'd be staying up like talking till 1:30, 2 o'clock, 1:30 every single night. And bear in mind, we were doing this on nights where we were getting up at 6:30, 7 o'clock. to go out onto a football pitch and have Fiona McHale like running the legs off us all around the place. And we'd be getting into bed with our football gear on because we knew we'd be having like there was nights where we'd be having like 3 or 4 hours sleep, and we did not learn our lesson. Like we did this for like 3 or 4 years in college, and all our other all our friends and things would be like, "What were you doing up till 2 o'clock?" Like we'd be sending them Snapchats because we'd be absolutely wired. And yeah, so did that for a good few years in college. I also had that mentality a bit when I went to London. I was like trying to get as much as possible into my days and just go, go, go. I'd get up at 5 o'clock to do a training session, even if I wasn't like in bed like till like 12 o'clock. And yeah, I think in the last 3 or 4 years, I've completely changed my mentality on that. I now absolutely love my sleep, really value it, and I couldn't like I wouldn't be able to operate now without like 7 hours anyway. I just like I'd be feeling the impact of it, and I just see how much better I feel. And I think because I was very much like go, 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 and always doing, and there was always something on, it was kind of easy to just like be fueled on adrenaline and caffeine and cortisol. Whereas now I feel like I'm just like a little bit calmer and like not all go, go, go so much. So I need my sleep. But yeah, that's something that's massively changed for me from just like struggling on a few hours to now get my 7, 8 hours.
And I suppose that's a really interesting one because it's something that I would have, when you sent the message last night, it's something that crossed my mind with sleep. But then on reflection, I realized that I've always enjoyed it and I've always made time for it. But I suppose in the last couple of years for me, with that, I would now definitely make it almost a non-negotiable. And as you said there, you wouldn't just get up for that 5 a.m. session if you're not getting the other end of it, getting to bed like 7, 8 hours in advance of that session. So that's what I kind of do with my sleep now. But as a, I probably did value it a little bit more than you in the past, but it's a really interesting one because I'm sure that your change of mindset on that has, impacted the way you push sleep or view sleep for, let's say, people that you work with. Do you think that that
100%, 100%. I guess like I didn't really have the knowledge on the importance of it before either. Whereas like, having done some research on the importance of it, I understand that now. And I think like when you're used to sleeping well, like you then feel the impact of not sleeping well. Whereas like when you were, I was like, when I was chronically not sleeping well, that just became the new norm. And I think when I was younger, I valued it more, but somewhere along the way, that changed. And then it was just my alarm, and I didn't even know what it was like to feel like with really good sleep continuously. So yeah, it absolutely has changed my outlook for myself and for people. And like I understand it now, so I'd be preaching the benefits of it.
Yeah, I find that so interesting there that you mentioned about like the education side of it, and that's something I kind of struggle with a little bit is like I educate myself on things because I find them so interesting, things like sleep, nutrition, sports nutrition, performance, all of this, anything related to like health and wellness. But then I find it hard to balance like being so educated on it and putting it into practice and not having to be so regimental with it because I'm educated. Do you know what I mean?
Great, great point, great point. And I think we kind of had this conversation before because I was asking you about the Whoop, I remember before. And I think like measuring so many things as well sometimes nearly makes us like hyper focused that we're like, oh my God, I didn't get my 7 hours or my 8 hours, when actually, like, like that's fine every now and again as well. And like not to be too, I guess, hyper focused on it.
Yeah, there was a stage during lockdown, I remember, when things were kind of open up, you're allowed to kind of see your family or, well, I don't know if it was technically you were allowed or not, but we
Say
did.
nothing, say
But
nothing.
I remember family even being over and I had gone deep dive into sleep. Like I was mad into Matthew Walker, Why We Sleep, listen to the podcast, listen to the audiobooks. I had days and days and days of educating myself around sleep and anywhere I could find information on it. And then because I was able to completely take ownership of my days and nights, and you weren't going out, there wasn't people pulling you left, right, and center. I remember people being over because I had developed such an interest in sleep, and I started to sleep even more and like really prioritize my sleep wake times and try and align it with the sun. Like I started to sleep with my curtains open to wake up with the sun, and like a little bit too crazy, but I do recall a time where the house was full of people, and I remember being like, right, look, I'm off to sleep, you know. And that's fine every now and then if you have something coming up, but I mean, what was I doing? You know, I wasn't doing anything, but I was just it. I went all in on this whole sleeping
Down the
mode,
rabbit hole.
so that's not, I wouldn't advise that either now, to be honest. But as you said, find and balance, but having it as your norm, and then the odd time having an exception, you know, where you might need to stay up later and not leave the social setting just to get the
That's so
hour's sleep.
funny. There are like two ends of the spectrum there that we've given. So I think definitely a bit of balance with it as well, and knowing that it's not going to kill us to have like one bad night's sleep. Okay, so give me your first
Good
one.
one. So before I give you my first one, I just want to say that when Claire sent me this, or when you sent me this last night, I started to think about, you know, things I've changed my mind on. And you see it come up on podcasts, and it's so interesting to listen to people, especially people who you've followed for a long time, and how their mindset has shifted on different things in health and wellness and fitness and all of that. But I actually found it quite tricky, and there's not a lot that I've changed my mind on in a dramatic way. Like things have changed trajectory or slightly. I've always been open to a change in opinion, and I suppose I've never really been fully tied to certain things, but I did come up with a few. But I just thought it was interesting how I found it so tricky, you know, to kind of think about it. Like
That's great.
I spent time writing down and everything, but yeah, it is an interesting one. But one thing, and it's so hilarious and ironic, is walking. When I was younger, my mom and my granny and a few around here used to always go on walks. You know, every single day they've always been walking. I was always exposed to seeing people walking. Like my granny's friends would come over and they'd be walking the block every single day. And I used to always say, "What in the name of God are they walking for? Why are they walking? That is boring. Why would you be walking if you're not?" Like, to the point where I'll never forget, my poor mom wanted me to come out walking with her one evening, so I came out. But because I was being so headstrong about not wanting to walk, I brought a ball and kicked it around the block the whole way for the 40-minute walk. Kicked the ball around, like, because there had to be like a sport involved
Purpose.
in why I was, yeah, a purpose. So
That's so funny.
I've done a full 360 on the whole walking thing in terms of like the enjoyment that I get from it, the health benefits, the low impact. It is one of the most underrated forms of activity. And people think that when they sign up to trying to better themselves or find the happiest version of themselves, that they have to go all in and do like high impact, high intensity exercise to see benefits in terms of like physique, fat loss, fitness. You don't. Like, if you can be consistent with your walking, it's so enjoyable for mentally, socially, and then physically. It has so many benefits with a very low risk factor. And if I could, and I like my page was set up walking with show, like, hello, that's, you know what I mean? I was
Didn't even think
walking daily, and but yeah, like literally, and that was in 2019. I set that up when I was in Australia, and I used to go for my daily walks, and
of
loads of thoughts would be filling my mind. And I find it such a like productive thing to do as well, in terms of like it gives you time to sit with your kind of creative thoughts and makes you excited about things, you know. So yeah, walking is definitely
that's
something I've changed my mind on.
great one. That is a full 360 for you from not being into it at all. And a few things there that when you said that first, I was actually just laughing in my head because Tommy, I don't think like until we started going out, I don't think Tommy had ever gone for a walk because he just didn't see any point in it like at all. Because when he grew like when you grow up like working on a farm, like sure, you'd be out working all day. Why would you go for a walk? Like he just didn't see any benefit to it or any point in it at all. And then
Waste time.
wait time. Then he started going for walks, like because we'd go for a walk together, it'd be our way of getting out of the house or whatever. And I'd say for like over a year, or maybe even like definitely over a year, like I was like kind of like still helping him understand why we were going for a walk and why that was a good idea. He just didn't get it. But I also just totally agree with the fact that You know, so many people, when they're embarking on a health and fitness journey, think that walking isn't like enough, or they'll say something like, "Oh, should I only walk?" Not realizing that that's an incredible form of exercise. That, like you said, it's low impact, low recovery, and it suits people's lifestyles. People enjoy it. I think it's like an incredible thing. So that was an amazing one to share.
We're on to it now. One each, your
Yeah.
turn.
Okay. So my second one, I've titled it Burgers, Chips, and Chocolate.
Interesting.
So I, for years, like until I understood nutrition, I was like, I would never eat a burger, never eat chips, like was afraid of chocolate. Just because I like would have thought those foods were bad for you, thought those foods were fattening. Just thought that like you shouldn't really eat those things. And it wasn't until genuinely I was about like, I'd say I was like 21, 22, when I embarked on my first time working with a coach. And the goal was fat loss at the time, but it was my first time like really starting to understand nutrition and understand that I could have these things and that they were okay and that they weren't fattening or that they weren't things that I had to completely avoid. And anyone of my close friends or who's gone out for food with me will know that I love a good burger. Like, so I've completely changed my mindset on burgers and chips. That's probably what I order like most of the time when I'm out, unless I'm like in a nice restaurant where I'm getting a steak or something like that. And chocolate as well. I was like afraid of chocolate, like would have avoided it like the plague because I was like afraid of these foods. And yeah, just my mindset on them have been like totally changed. I eat chocolate most days now, and I couldn't imagine a life without burgers and chips.
That is amazing. I am so sorry for past Claire that didn't get the chocolate. Oh Lord, that must have been, well, it wasn't hard because it's what you knew and what you did, I suppose. But now I'm sure you look back and be like, all those years,
But I missed out.
missing out on it.
And I convinced myself nearly that I didn't really like them as well. Like I was like, because I never had them or allowed myself to enjoy them, I kind of thought that I didn't really like them, which is like I'm sad for my past self, and I'm sad for anyone who thinks that way. And I hope that anyone listening to this who does think that way, that we can help change their mind. So yeah,
Yeah, for sure.
burgers are a part of my life now, which is great.
That's a really interesting one because I think people think that way too. And especially if they see, let's say, someone who's like embarking on, bettering themselves or an athlete or whatever, if they see someone out, that kind of status person, and they see them out and they're having a burger, they're like, geez, I saw this person last year, they're eating burger, they mustn't be doing what they're supposed to be at. Like, I do know that that mindset is there. People think that that's the way they eat, but like you're only catching like a quick snapshot of the grander scheme of things, and they're 90% of the time could be, whole foods, wide variety of nutrient dense things in their lives, and this might be their one like kind of social thing that they just like, I want to relax a little, I'll have the burger, I'll have the chocolate or whatever. And I suppose it's just to be careful on making statements or judgments on people who are, because maybe someone like you might find it tricky to have that, and you might be overcoming something even in terms of your relationship with food, and this could be a big deal for you. And if all it takes is one person to make a comment
100%.
to then maybe throw you back a couple of steps. So that's
So
a really
true.
interesting one, and there's so much depth in it actually, even though it's hilarious, but like there is actually a lot of
When I reflect on it, I actually just didn't have the understanding. Like, I think like from like us like understanding, a fair bit around nutrition now, it's actually kind of hard for me to grasp like the thoughts I had around it back then because they're so illogical and make absolutely no sense to me now. But like from my state of awareness back then, that made complete sense. And I couldn't join, like I didn't have the dots in my head to join to understand that like I could have that once, or like I genuinely feel guilty or feel bad if I was in a situation where, maybe there was a time where there was nothing else available and like I'd have to have that because I'm hungry, and like genuinely would be feeling guilt and shame for having that food and thinking that like I just didn't have the understanding that it was about your diet as a whole. It's about what you ate over the course of the whole week. And exactly what you said, it's important that we don't make someone else feel guilty or ashamed for having a food that we don't know what's going on for them. So, and if someone had said something to me back then when I was eating something I already felt bad for eating, then it probably would have been
Yeah.
a lot worse. So yeah, it's an interesting thing. And as funny as it is, there is a lot of depth that goes into it.
Yeah, for sure. But we'll leave it at surface level, and that
Yeah.
no, that's good share, good
Give me
share.
your next.
My next one, it kind of is a little bit similar to yours, but I suppose when I first started in the gym, probably I'm 10 and a half years ago, maybe 11 years, I'm consistently in the gym now. Thanks to Brian Kane. I'm sure you know of Brian Kane Fitness. So he'd be a friend of mine from home, and he embarked on his like fitness journey and started out, and I took a real interest in it. And around the time, nobody knew anything really about the gym. And if you're going to the gym, it's like, oh, she goes to the gym, or you know, this is like almost a taboo around it. It was funny. But anyways, I started to develop an interest, and Brian helped me out with it. And when I first started going to the gym, I suppose I saw like a different side to food and meal plans and whatnot. And I thought that clean eating was the only way to attain a physique goal. So like that meant no processed foods, no refined sugars at all, like completely, you know, having chicken and broccoli, nearly bland, like to the point of it being tasteless. But if I knew it was going to get me where I wanted it to get me, I was willing to do it. And then having this idea of language around like a cheat meal at the weekend or a cheat day, which was basically a break in the way that you were eating the rest of the week. With highly palatable foods and whatnot. So I suppose at the time I thought that that meant that that's what you had to do to be going to the gym. You had to also eat this way, you know, that it went hand in hand. And I suppose it wasn't until, as you said, you got more, or I got more education around it, that I started to realize that like, look, this isn't like sustainable for life. And, you know, anything that totally takes over your life and changes the way you socialize in it, kind of negative weight, like isn't something that's going to be sustainable. So I did it for a while, you know, was prepping the food. I still do a bit of food prep, but in a very different manner at the minute. You know, that was totally evolved. But at the time, like I remember going out to, we have a local like fishery place where you can get like salmon and all that, like not far from home, and going out and buying like sides of salmon and cutting it up to the exact measures and freezing a ton of them, freezing a ton of chicken breasts. Like, I mean, mom at the time would go to the butcher and I'd be like, mom, can you pick me up like 20 chicken breasts? Like, I'm not messing. And like four pineapples. And I'd literally have like chicken, broccoli, and rice. Didn't even really like veg at the time, but I was like trying to force myself to eat it. And I mean, I just remember having, I don't even know what I had for breakfast because my palate still wasn't. Remember, I was talking to you last week about like not really enjoying that many foods. I remember trying to like oats and I didn't really like them at the time. So can't remember what I used to have for it, but it's like eggs, toast, chicken, rice, salmon, broccoli, pineapple. That's all I remember eating for a
Wow.
while. And then at the weekends, like having, like, because I seen it somewhere on Instagram, like Ben and Jerry's. Ice cream's not even really my thing. And just because someone else was eating a pot of Ben and Jerry's, I thought that that's what I had to do as a cheat meal, or
Okay.
like, yeah.
That's so funny.
So
Wow.
my mindset around that has totally changed. And I think the general population, it has, but I do think a certain amount of people, if you started in that kind of life back then, like a decade ago, I think that's all we really knew. So now people understand that unless you're like prepping for a shoot or to get on stage or, you know, for physique, if that's your, you can do that for a while, but I think you need to be really highly educated around it and like the effect it could potentially have on you. I was lucky, I had no knock on like effect of it coming out of it. I just kind of stopped and that was it, you know. But I do know people who have had very, very much have had struggles with coming out the other side of that.
Yeah, but you know what's interesting? I know you're saying there that that has very much changed, and I think it has to a certain extent. But I think that we kind of sur we have this tendency to surround ourselves with like-minded people and with information that I guess that we resonate.
Supports our views.
Whereas I do still think there's a lot of people who would still think in that way, but maybe we're not so exposed to them. And there is people like coaches and educators who would still promote that. So I feel like that hasn't died, just we're not maybe as exposed to it anymore, and maybe it was more prevalent back then. And
True, that is true, yeah.
I do think that, do you know, like I think like bodybuilders were people who were maybe like the first people to start talking about those things, and then I think that's maybe where a lot of that came from. We were kind of like adapted, we kind of like adapted it from those kind of influencers, because there wasn't as many influencers and stuff back then.
Yeah, no, definitely, definitely. Because when I bring myself back there, that's what I used to see, you know?
Yeah, that's so interesting. It's so interesting to hear that you were back there, because like now, like when I see your diet, like you're like so varied in the foods that you eat, like you love to have balance, like so you've come very far with the walk, and you've come very far with the food, which is so
And you
great.
with the burgers, chips, and chocolate and the
No, that's a great one as well. Okay, we'll move on. I'll go to my next one. And it's gonna resonate with what you were telling me before we got on the call. I've completely changed my mind on long distance running. So I too was the person who thought that I would only run if it was after a ball, and sure, what would I be doing 5K for? Or like, how could I stay running for a half an hour continuously? And it was only really during COVID that, like, COVID was probably my first time like going on some longer runs, and then like never thought I'd like do a half marathon or do a marathon or anything like that. Never thought it would be enjoyable, or like had that like I'm not a runner kind of story going on. Until I actually got into it then during COVID, and just started to really love it. And like the more of it I did, the more buzz I got from it. And yeah, I just love it now. Like I can't wait for the day that I get a chance to do another marathon. And I just like I completely have changed my mind about that. I thought it would be boring, whereas I don't find it one bit boring. I kind of find it like exhilarating in a way, and love the feeling of it, and the I guess like the way it clears your mind. And yeah, I just like, I love it. So I've changed my mind very much on that.
That is really interesting because that's one thing we're going to overlap on here today,
I
is
was
that is
wondering, would
something
there
I had
be?
down. That's one. Yeah, so number three, we're overlapping on
Okay.
our thoughts of change around running. And I do think it is because our whole lives we were involved in planned activity through organized sport, you know. So everything we were exposed to, we probably never had time to run either, and it probably never fitted in along with our other training. But I do remember people when I was younger, like you, we'd be looking up to people like my aunts and, you know, just different people like that, be my parents' friends and whatnot, and they'd be running long distance, you know, and running on the roads. And I used to think that it was completely, completely more than a walk. And what would you be at that for? Where would you get the time for it? I mean, like, genuinely, I had the same mindset as you. And even today, when I was out on the run, I was literally running in the woods, and not one part of me was bored. Not one part of me was like, when is this over? I was so grateful. I felt that exact word that you use, exhilarated. Like, genuinely, it, like, I don't know, it just gives you something that you can't describe. And I think that it's a very, with us both having a shift in mindset on this, I think it's really important to note that, like, you can't just take something at face value, or, you know, the saying, don't judge a book by its cover. Until you've stood in the shoes of someone who is doing that thing, we really shouldn't be too quick to judge what, you know what it's
100%.
like. Because like that, I'd be like, oh, there must be something wrong with them if they're running, like, you know. And I still hear people say, if you're running long distance, you have to be a little bit crazy. And maybe you do, but I mean,
Oh,
I'm not gonna
so true.
take
But
that label, but yeah.
do you know what? I think that like whenever I would have like maybe attempted a 5K or something in the past, maybe like, do you know, if it was the off season for football and you go for a random run, like anytime that I would have tried to get into it, I just think that I was never consistent enough to get to the place where I enjoyed it. And it's like, how could we have been good at running when we were always training for like a high intensity stop start kind of sport, and we expected that, oh sure, like I go out in the first run and I don't enjoy that, so like therefore running, I'm not a long distance runner or whatever. So I think for anyone who has that story currently, you need to know that like it takes time for it to feel comfortable, for you to feel in any way decent at it. And like the only way that you get comfortable running a 10K is like to build up towards it. And I do like, I genuinely think anyone can do it. Maybe not anyone will enjoy it, but you just have to be consistent enough to get kind of decent at it.
Yeah, and I also think I actually had this conversation with one of the girls in the coffee shop earlier. With running is to slow down. To enjoy your running, you need to slow down. And especially for people coming from a sporting background like you and I, probably did take off on those 5Ks and just go busting the gut and thinking that we had to get it finished as fast as possible and faster than anyone else has done it before. And then that, of course, you're not going to enjoy that. As you said, try sprinting for 5K. Like, it seems like the longest time ever. But if you slow it right down and however slow you think you're going, go even slower than that. And I promise, like, that's where you find the enjoyment in it because you do not see it pass and you can take everything in around you. You can smile. You can, it's, yeah,
So much more
a little
comfortable.
bit of advice.
I totally agree with what you're saying there. And I think like even the difference in like 5 seconds or 10 seconds faster per kilometer, it makes a big difference to how you feel on the run and your rate of perceived, like how much you feel like you're exerting yourself. So I totally resonate what you're saying there. And I feel like I say that a lot to clients. And I think sometimes people don't understand. They're like, oh, this run felt so tough today. And I'd be like, yeah, well, you did it like 2 minutes faster than the last day. Of course
Yeah.
it felt
Which is, as you said, 5 to 10 seconds probably per kilometer faster, which is loads. Like, that's so much time.
Yeah, 100%. So no, totally agree with what you're saying there. So next one for me is probably like a little bit deeper. So something I've changed my mind on is human potential. So like right now, like I just truly believe that like we're capable of achieving anything that we put our minds to, and that like really like we're limitless. Like if we set our minds on a goal and we give it everything, that we can achieve anything. Whereas I think like when I was younger, I don't think I had that mentality, or I don't think I like that I really thought we could do anything that we were capable of, like of wanting to achieve. And I just think like from experience and from like reading around those things, I just think it's really exciting like what people are actually capable of achieving. And I think it's a really like, I don't know if bad is the word, like unhelpful thing for people to put limitations on themselves and to have limiting beliefs, because I think you cap what you're capable of achieving then. So yeah, I just think like we're capable of achieving anything we want, like anything we put our minds to. And like I hate seeing people like not think that they can.
Yeah, putting a ceiling on it. That is, I actually adore that. Absolutely adore that. And I can so resonate with it. I had that thought on my run today about like you're on a run, you feel like Superwoman. And I was like, I actually can do anything I want. I really can, genuinely. But as you said, the younger mentality definitely, I don't know, maybe it's weird. I genuinely felt the same when I was younger. I always said that I couldn't be the fittest person on a team, or I might be skillful, but there was always like, you'd nearly put a label on it because you're afraid of nearly trying to strive for that. But so I can totally see where that comes from, and I can totally resonate with it. And it's not maybe like with age and experience and exposure to like trying new things and having the courage to kind of go forward and push yourself in other ways, you only start to kind of fully believe it when you try.
100%
So,
have evidence.
like, no more than you. Like, I'm sure if you told your younger self that you'd be running and killing it in the online fitness industry, you'd probably have said to yourself, oh, how would Claire get there in the future? You know what I mean?
100%. Yeah, 100%. And yeah, I think it's like it's a really nice belief to have. And I think like obviously there's levels to believing it, but I think the more that people can ingrain that belief in themselves, the more successful that will be. And obviously like that comes within reason as well. Like I know I can't be like an Olympic athlete now at this stage, but like I think, within reason that we can achieve anything that we reasonably like put our minds to. which I think is a nice thought to have. What's your next one?
For sure. Not as deep, but mine is so low calorie snacks, right?
Hey. I think I
So
know where you're going
when
already.
do you?
I
Right,
think so.
I'll confirm with me now in a second. I have done almost a full circle on my thoughts on the likes of Fiber Ones and the likes of Skinny Whips and all of those things. They do serve a purpose. They're great low calorie options for people who are need them, I guess. But for me, I don't value them at all, to be honest, because they're not what I want. They're not what I crave. They're not, I'm like, if you want a Kit Kat or you want Dairy Milk chocolate, go and have 150 calories worth of that, as opposed to having the fiber one that you don't want, that you'll still want the Dairy Milk chocolate afterwards. And this is a very like specific example, but I'm just, there are so many times where I have gone and had those things, and unless you pair it with something or you bulk it up, I literally would get nothing from them. And you can try and trick yourself for a while into believing, oh, sure, look, I'm having this. Isn't it great? Like, it's only whatever amount of calories, and they're lovely, and they're lovely, and they are nice. The things that I've had are lovely. And look, I've been there and I've posted plenty of those options. And I still think it's nice to experiment with them and explore them and provide them as an option for people who might need them, because maybe people find it hard to portion the other things that they actually want, like the chocolate, maybe the biscuits, whatever it might be. But I have totally come full circle on that. And anymore, I will just buy what I want, or else I won't get it at all. I'm like, there's no point in getting those snacks for the sake of it, because they don't hit.
I really like that. I really like that. And I think it's like a bit of like an individual thing. And I think like, like if you're the person who has the Fiber One, I actually think you gave two great examples of the Fiber Ones and the Skinny Whips, because I think they're actually not all that amazing. And they're not as amazing as maybe we initially thought. Whereas like I love something like a purple snack, which is like 100 calories, but actually like really tasty. I think like it needs to be like whatever satisfied the craving for you. If like if this thing satisfies the craving for you, go for it. If you still crave the thing that you actually wanted after, then it's not really a good choice. So yeah, I'm on the same page with you, and I think I've come like a little bit full circle on like they wouldn't be my first go-to at all now.
For sure. And there was a little time where I think everyone, and as you said, it's we have to experiment with them and we have to try them and see where it goes. But that's where I'm at with
I
that.
think
Not
that's
going to say too much more. You could talk all day.
I think that's a really good share though, because I think like they were just like really heavily marketed as well for a while, that I think we all kind of like got onto the bandwagon of having some of those things, whereas sometimes you just have like a maybe the smaller amount of what you really fancy and you're actually just really satisfied. So yeah, I'm on the same page with you with that. Okay, so my final one is so like you kind of touched on it there earlier, but I've changed my mind on like career opportunities. So when I studied physio for 4 years, I thought I'd be a physio then like for the rest of my life, and I just thought that like that's the path, and I didn't even know that like other paths existed. Or, there wasn't like a CAO option to go into online coaching or anything like that. So I feel like that was something that like I would have like just had it in my head and got to be a physio. Like I'll probably be a physio till I retire. That's kind of the way it would pan out. But I think like just that the way society has changed, the way opportunity has changed, I didn't think online coaching would be something like I'd ever get into. And just it's the way that like my career path has gone now. So I've definitely just changed my mind on that. And I guess like if I was to like look at someone doing their Leaving Cert now, and if I was to look at me doing my Leaving Cert now, I'd probably be saying like, don't worry too much. Like it'll work out. You'll find something that you really enjoy. And like, not that I didn't enjoy physio, I did, but I guess the point is that there's so many different opportunities available, and like the decision isn't always maybe as like life I guess like altering as you think, because you can change like that one thing, that one decision, you can change that down the line if needed. So yeah, I've changed my mind on that big time.
That's very interesting. And like whilst physio you what was what you strove for and you got there, and as you said, you probably thought that maybe like that's where you were going to be, even though you've changed careers in a way, it still serves you having that background and knowledge. And like, so even if someone decides they want to be a doctor, they want to be a teacher, they want to be a nurse, they want to be a physio, whatever they want to be, and they go for it, it will still serve you in whatever you decide to do after. Or if you might not, but if other opportunities do come your way, go at them and take them, and what you've studied and spent that time, and it's not wasted. Like that, there's it's there for a reason, you know. And it's not like all those years of physio or the money you put into college to become a physio, that's not gone to nothing, you know what I mean? So just
100%.
important for people to understand that. And as you said, especially young people in the position of where they're only applying now, and they're like, oh, but Claire Marie said like you could change, you know, possibly your career could change. That doesn't mean you don't still go after what you want, you know, initially.
100%. Yeah. And you're spot on. I use that knowledge every day and I never change it for the world. And it's an amazing career. Like if I ever, you know, wanted to like go work as a physio again. And yeah, I think like just that, like, I guess everything happens for a reason, and I'd never change any of it at the same time.
Yeah, I love that. I love that share, and I think there's a lot of value in it, and there's a whole topic there
Yeah,
for, you know, a
there is.
podcast.
Totally.
So yeah, that's brilliant. Number five for me. So I think you'll probably, you know, value this as well, or maybe I'd say you'll agree, but you may or may not have thought this way in the past. But I think that like being shredded equals health. I think in the past, it's what we were brought up to believe, that if someone was absolutely ripped and, you know, had a six pack or was very visibly lean, or actually like had no muscle or anything, that they were very healthy. And quite often, that's actually quite the opposite. They might appear a certain way, but what's going on internally may not be that healthy at all. And that's what you don't see. Whether it's mentally or physically, you know, that can manifest itself very different to each individual. So I think that it's really important to be careful on what you value in terms of what you see as health. Be very careful that you're aware of what else comes along with that. So I suppose, like, you know, for women, it can equal disruptions to our hormone imbalances, menstrual cycles, all of that, even with you know, your self-talk and whatnot. And then for men, they can have the same things, like affect their libido, affect their sleep, affect their mood, affect their energy. So I suppose just to be careful in that, like, yeah, someone can look quote unquote healthy, but that might not be like a well-balanced approach to health. Yeah.
Couldn't
Some
agree with you more. I'm obviously a living example of that over the last few years. I can't believe I didn't have that down as one of mine. But yeah, like I could not agree more. When I was at my leanest and like able to run at like marathons, like I didn't realize at the time, but like I had lost my cycle and it wasn't that healthy. It wasn't healthy. And like someone like who actually has more body fat and like doesn't look as like lean, like they could be much healthier. Like I guess yeah, it's like your level of leanness doesn't actually mean you're healthy at all. I think that's an amazing takeaway and an amazing point to finish on. And I guess it's just something that maybe I don't know where the belief comes from. I guess it's like where like we equate this with this, because I don't think it's ever something I was told, oh, that like leanness equals health, but it's nearly like something we kind of string together in our heads, I think.
I think maybe it started off in like it was what was portrayed as desirable in like magazines, and that was what was our form of a Instagram feed in your, like when we were growing up, you go into the doctor's office and there'd be, you know, people on the front of a magazine, men and women at the beach, and the leanest they could be with like no muscle mass, and that was what was put in front of you. And people, they'd be like, "Oh, don't these, but they look amazing," and you know, and yeah, I mean, they did look amazing and whatnot. But I think as well, like, it's really important to understand that that's always changing. So the picture perfect health and what people think is desirable or you know strive to achieve, that has changed even throughout my life. Like, and I'm only 31, that has changed so much. We've gone through phases where like being skin and bone was like what
Yeah.
people thought was desirable. There's been phases where absolutely shredded but like with muscle was desirable. You now then, like when the Kardashians started to come on board, like the curve look was more desirable. So just for people to be aware that that's always going to be changing. So find what is healthiest for you, find where you're actually happiest, and run with that, because no matter how you look, you're going to look perfect to someone and you might not look perfect to someone else. But if you're happy with yourself and you are actually the healthiest version of yourself, if you can stand in front of a mirror and say that I'm energized, I'm sleeping well, I have a good work-life balance, I can work out, I'm keeping an eye on my health physically and mentally. And if you can do that and you're happy in your own skin and your own clothes, then go after that picture and you know use that with confidence, because it will, the ideal will change. And I think that don't fixate yourself with one picture of a girl that you don't even know what's going on in her life, or a boy that you don't even know what's going on in their life, because yeah, I just, that's something that I would be very feel strong
Mic drop. That was just perfect how you said
about.
all of that. Honestly, I couldn't put that better. No, I think that's an amazing way to finish the podcast and an amazing lesson to leave everyone with. So thank you for joining me today. This has been fun. I've enjoyed this. So I'm looking forward to our next podcast together. Thank you for being here, Mairead.
Anytime, Claire. It's always a pleasure.